Blog Talk Radio.
So very faithless and perverse generation. Can you say faithless and what else? What makes a man get perverted without faith? What's perverted our Christianity? Faithless.
Don't say that profess that God has given you power, love, and a sound mind, and your mind is not sound. You don't have power to overcome your present situation and circumstances.
Now the devil is always pushing. You can recognize the demons working because they always push to impetuous, immediate action. Don't think, do. And the devil says, if you don't do it now, you'll miss the opportunity. If you don't move now, if you don't sell now, if you don't jump now, it'll be gone.
And the kingdom of God is best expressed by authority and power to cast out devils.
Listen, dear friends. Don't forget that little word he said, seek ye first. Come on. That's the secret right there. Seek ye first. Seek ye first. Oh, I tell you, the average person said, seek me first. That's it. Seek me first. Put me first.
Well, anyone who opposes the kingdom of God and the casting out of devils. Because when we're of God's kingdom, our sole purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Our sole purpose is to cast down Satan's kingdom.
I can tell you whether you won souls or not, whether you get your prayers answered, whether you're happy or not, whether you got a happy home or not, whether you work killing in the church or not. I can tell you, if you love your friend, and let me see how you start your day out. If you grab a cup of coffee and a newspaper and sit down for an hour and let the Bible go begging, brother, you're mixed up in worldliness.
The Word of God said, we're going over to the other side. And in the midst of the Word of God said, we are going over to the other side, the enemy showed up in the storm. And the first thing that the enemy did was challenge those who walk with Christ. Those who eat with him and slept with him and saw the miracle, the signs and the wonders done by him. The first thing that the enemy did was steal the word that they heard right out of their heart and then allow doubt to rise up on the inside of them. And instead of believing what the word of God said, they said, Lord, we perish.
Reading the word that's going to give you faith, that isn't what he's talking about. It isn't just hearing the word that's going to give you faith. You've got to open your spiritual ear or eye as you hear or read the word and appropriate by faith. Make it yours.
That'll sober you up. That ought to melt your silly heart. I'm not interested in your feelings and your little silly sentimentality. I'm wondering about your love for Christ and compassion for others. Do you care? I'm asking you one question tonight. Do you love Jesus or do you love this stinking world?
So God wants us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving ourselves. How many folks are deceived every single week? Going to hear what they call the word and it never once emboldens them or give them a desire or a passion to do the works of Christ.
We want just a bunch of sickly sentimentality and we want to just fix up sort of a hiding place and a loophole for sinners to say, well, if that old cuss made it in, I can make it in myself.
The kingdom is within you. And the only kingdom that this world is going to understand until the king comes is what they see in us. Because now we are the only creatures that have the ability to walk in darkness and to walk in light.
How God's people grow up!
That everybody can hear me, but still playing. Oh, well, all right. Well, glory to the King. Bless y'all. Shalom, shalom, shalom to the saints of the Most High. Hope you're doing well. This is actually the second one and second day of the week. When y'all can give me a radio check, great. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate it. Bless y'all. Thank you, Sister Heidi. Thank you, Submissive Servant. Bless y'all. I was listening by phone. Thank you, Sister Brittany. It sounds like I'm coming in well. That's good because I know that they've been having some issues with Blog Talk Radio here in the last month. I think it looks like they finally got the issues resolved, at least. It appears that way. Well, hope you all had a great first day. Right now in Tennessee, the snow has just started. I can see a little bit out the security cameras. Don't look like much yet, but we're expecting a decent amount of snow tonight and cold temperatures all week. So winter's definitely here. Hey, glory to the King. But hope you still are truly meditating and thinking on the word yesterday that Pastor Dow put out on pride, and definitely another aspect to the spirit of pride. And that is one thing that obviously makes the word of the Most High, of course, it's inexhaustible because it's forever, and He is forever and everlasting, but there are just so many facets of, you know, and dynamics behind each type of spiritual situation, demonic spirit, whatever that may be. And it's like every time you think you've heard, you know, the fullness of one thing, there's just another facet that is presented. And that just shows you as, you know, Yah's people, it takes a lot. It's going to take everything that's in us to get ourselves, you know, to get it clean and to press towards the finish line. It truly does. And, great message yesterday. I've been under the weather the last few days. Thankfully, didn't get hit as hard as some of the other saints have got hit with this. It's like a different kind of strain, is, you know, and the feedback that we've been getting off this sickness is this is like really is different. Attacks the respiratory, you know, massive headaches, high fever for days on end, and really debilitating. So I've learned now that when I start getting any type of symptoms, I usually start right away, almost immediately, on raw garlic and honey. And, you know, they're both biblical foods, and they both talk about their degree of cures or how they're using application to heal. And they definitely work. I mean, it's a process on the stomach to eat all that garlic out of nowhere, but it does serve its purpose, and I thank the Most High for it. And that's one thing about honey, too. It lasts forever. It's amazing, isn't it? As far as we know, it lasts forever. But so I'll be fine here tonight. If I, you know, forgive me if I cough or get, you know, have to take a break here for a second, but we'll get through this. Anyway, tonight's topic, we're going to talk about an arrogant spirit, okay? It's an arrogant spirit. And I just love how the Most High does these type of things. You know, yesterday, Pastor had that message on pride. And then, I don't know if any of you all caught it, though. You need to go watch it. Elder Mitchell did a something very similar in the title of his YouTube video was Old Man and Wisdom. And he touched on a lot of aspects of an arrogant spirit, though he didn't speak to it directly. You could hear it in his conversation, especially concerning how the young really refuse the wisdom of the old men, and how they, you know, they think themselves to be superior, and they will, what the world calls, bucking up against those that are in authority. So, and these are all descriptions of an arrogant spirit as we're going to go over tonight. So, again, the topic tonight on Blog Talk Radio is an arrogant spirit. I'm going to cover different angles, different aspects, different facets of this one spirit. There's so many applications for it that, you know, you could spend weeks going over this. But we're going to try breaking down a little bit and at least get the saints a general idea of what to look for, what to consider. Maybe they're operating in this type of spirit. And if they are, they get an opportunity to get it right and get clean. So with that, we're going to get started. Thank you again, Josh, always, for being there to... thank you, Josh. He posted the link there on the chat. And Pastor Rufus, did a great video today. Last night at noon, midnight, he said, on just be at peace. Very good, very encouraging. But again, appreciate it, Brother Josh, for always taking your time out to do the job as a moderator here in the Blog Talk Radio format. So anyway, with that, we're going to get started. Again, this is an arrogant spirit. Arrogant is an adjective for describing people who are too proud and look down on others. It is an attitude of superiority manifested in an overbearing manner or presumptuous claims or assumption. It is an insulting way of thinking or behaving that comes from believing that you are better, that you're smarter or more important than other people. The word arrogant derives from the Latin erigere, which means to claim, and the idea is that someone is claiming credit or advantages that they are not entitled to. Excuse me. Confident people are usually humble about their accomplishments. They take pride in their work and their achievements, but show others respect and gratitude and share praise with their fellow laborers. These individuals inspire others to work towards achieving goals and gain the respect of their fellow laborers and superiors. They don't feel the urge to boast about their achievements. Now we're talking about people that walk in confidence and not arrogance, trying to show a different dynamic here right from the gate. Arrogant individuals boast about their accomplishments and rarely appreciate others' efforts. They also appear to compete with others for praise. If someone speaks about achieving something, an arrogant individual might respond by minimizing their success and comparing it to their own achievements. And on the flip side of the coin, an arrogant person will speak with negative words and disparaging comments against another's work and accomplishments, even though they have no experience in that field or skill, which just totally blows me away when I heard it. They will boast as though if they knew that skill or that particular field that they would always be superior. Arrogance is very closely related to pride. You almost kind of use them interchangeably, but there is differences, obviously, and is the opposite of humility. Pride is the walk, but arrogance is the talk. Arrogance is pride. It's haughtiness. It's high-mindedness. It's a lack of self-esteem. It's rejection. It's insulting. It's hurtful. It's condescending. It's critical. It has a rebellious nature. It's competitive. It's boastful in the way that the spirit operating in that particular arrogance wants all the credit. It's an attitude of a scorner or a mocker. It's contemptuous. It's hard and stiff-necked. Is full of false assurances. It's insolent, which means rude or disrespectful behavior. It speaks in lies and falsehoods and on and on and on and on. But them are just some of the groupings right now that you can see these. If people walking, or you do, or anybody walks in these certain manifestations, that more than likely they're operating not only out of spirit of pride, but in an arrogant manner. An arrogant spirit says, I have the right simply because I exist and I believe myself better than everyone else. Arrogance has no regard for others' place and or position. Arrogance is a deliberate act. It shows out to demonstrate and assume superiority or equality. And I get all these things, these bullet points, by simply reading what the word says and being able to ascertain exactly by what the scripture or the verse and the letter or whatever is saying, is that you can see the manifestations of this one particular spirit and all the different attributes that surround it. Arrogance is an act of pure self-will. Arrogance does not honor or respect authority except for the ones they approve of. Selective respect. This is hypocrisy and wickedness. When one comes across new information or new revelation, feels the need to put down those who have yet to discover such things as though they are insignificant and without ability to have come across those things in their own way, meaning that if somebody finds out something for you, they present it as like they're the end-all, know-all, be-all, and you're dumb as a box of rocks because you simply don't understand what they're talking about, if that's making sense. An arrogant person will not receive advice or counsel, instruction or direction, but because of his arrogance and pride, he shall seek to do his own will and find himself in a precarious way. Some deal with the arrogant spirit through association, meaning that when we believe we have a close relationship with a leader or an authority figure, we in our arrogance assume we have liberties beyond what is accepted because of the association. And again, going back and thinking also not only by reading the word, but actually seeing this, you know, this exhibited before, I can draw from these things as well. I mean, I'll just say it up front. I mean, and I don't see it anymore, but in the past, in the community, we would have brothers that pastor would take with him to go, say, get building materials or go on a mission someplace. And when they come back, all of a sudden they feel like they can assume the role of Pastor Dowell and his authority and treat and walk in an aspect of pride and arrogance as though they were the ones that actually were given some type of position. And it's actually how strong that spirit is and how easily it can influence and take over somebody's mind. Again, the enemy against arrogance is simply humility, just simple humility. And it's also against pride and that whole grouping right there. All right, Josh, we're going to start tonight in Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17, verses 8 through 13. Deuteronomy 17, 8 through 13. And always when I do my blog talk studies, I make it a point to make sure that the word interprets itself. I don't want to put any of my opinion or my thought into anything. I want the word to speak for itself because it should, because it can, and it does, and it has for thousands of years, and it will continue. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 17, starting at verse 8. If there arise a matter too hard for thee, now you have to put yourself in the mindset about the words that are being spoken, and if you can, put yourself in the place that the description is talking about, so you get a better idea of a fullness of what is being said. If there arise a matter too hard for thee in judgment, between blood and blood, between plea and plea, and between stroke and stroke, being matters of controversy within thy gates, then thou shalt arise and get thee up into a place which Yahweh the Elohim shall choose. So we have a situation where it looks like there's an argument, there's contention, disagreement going on between parties, and in order to settle this, because it can't get settled, it needs to go someplace else, in a place Yah shall choose, and when they get there, this is what's going to happen. And thou shalt come unto the priest, the Levites, and unto the judge thou shalt be in those days, and require, and they shall show thee the sentence of judgment. So you can present your case before the judge and before the Levites. And they're the ones, because remember, the Levites kept the book of the law. They're the ones that spoke it to the people, especially on the Moedim. And then Yah, of course, had judges that he had set up in the land over the people as well. And thou shalt do according to the sentence, which they of that place which Yahweh shall choose shall show thee, and thou shalt observe to do all according to all that they inform thee. Okay, so you come in a situation, now you got them before them, now they've heard your case again, and you're going to give them the verdict. You're going to give them the sentence of what they have to do in order to, on both parts or one part or wherever the case may be, but there's a determination been made, and you're expected to follow it. Okay, verse 11. And according to the sentence of the law which they shall teach thee or instruct thee on or shall show you, make it clear to you, so there's no coming back later on and say, well, we didn't know. No, they're going to clearly show you what you need to do and what's expected. And according to the judgment which they shall tell thee, thou shalt do. Thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall show thee to the right hand nor to the left. And the man that will do presumptuously, okay, we're going to find out what this word presumptuously means. And the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth, again, he to minister there before Yahweh the Elohim. He's in the stead of Yah. He's been placed there to make this judgment. That's why it's so critical, especially if you ever get put in a place of an eldership or other things where you're called to judge a matter, that you do it righteously and without favor, without respect to persons, because, again, you believe you're speaking on behalf of the Most High and representing His kingdom and His word. So it's a dire place. It should come with a lot of fear. Again, and that man that will do presumptuously, again, this is the man that has heard the instruction, was commanded not to go left or right, expected to obey the sentence that was passed, and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister before Yahweh the Elohim, or unto the judge, even that man shall die. That's how critical this stuff is. And thou shalt put away the evil from Israel. And all the people shall hear and fear and do no more presumptuously. All right, the word presumptuous in the Hebrew is the H2087, H2087. Excuse me. This is the Brown Drivers Briggs definition, Josh. It simply means to be prideful, insolent, presumptuous, or arrogant. So it's just another way of saying that somebody is arrogant. Okay, where'd my cover page go? Weird. Okay, again, I'm sorry about that, but again, presumptuous and here is mean, okay, so we go back to verse 12, and that man that will be arrogant, will be insolent, meaning that he's disrespectful, he's rude, right? But, coming under an arrogant spirit, and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister before Yahweh the Elohim. He's going to just assume he can do whatever he wants to do, when he wants to do it, because he believes he has some type of foothold and superiority over the judges and the Levites been set before him, if you're following what I'm telling you. And the people shall hear and fear and do no more presumptuously, and they'll flee from arrogance, they'll flee from insolence and pride, because they see that the end of the judgment from disobeying what you're told to do by the council was going to result in death. Now, of course, nowadays, I can say personally, I've witnessed this many times, having to sit through many councils and hearing many of the parties that come before us to speak. And, of course, they always want to represent, everything according to their slant, to their side. And we're going to find out here later that lying is just as much a part of an arrogant spirit as, slanting things. It all comes down to the same thing. But the fact of the matter is, in the Torah, cut off would mean put out. They shall die. That's what it would. That's they're done. They're gone. They would be killed. That's how serious these judgments were, and how so precarious they were if you didn't follow them, because the end of that was death. But nowadays, what we see is that, we'll just put people right out of the ministry if they don't heed what they're told to do. I mean, we've done that with a man that used to be a brother in this ministry and actually the head of a fellowship at one time in Kentucky here. He's gone. About that, all that foolishness and crap that went down up in DMV, and that's history now, because you're dealing with the same situation. But anyway, so when you're looking at somebody that does presumptuously, you're looking at somebody walking in an arrogant spirit. And a person who sins presumptuously, this is the key to this thing too, which is really important. But a person who sins presumptuously is fully aware of what he is doing. There's no excuse. You can't blame it on anybody else. You can't say that you didn't hear. He is fully educated and not ignorant either of what he is doing or the potential cost of doing it, and he deliberately sets his mind to do it. It is an act of rebellion, an audacious setting of one's will, despite all he knows, to go ahead and do it anyway. It don't matter what the judgment is, what the decree is, but this person walking in his arrogance and lift up self will actually cut his own throat. That's how dire this is. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 18. Verses 19, 22. Deuteronomy 18, 19 through 22. And again, this aspect that we're covering on this particular facet of arrogance is presumptuousness. Okay, verse 19, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of it. But the prophet, okay, now we're going to talk about something that's been placed in a position of authority that supposedly has been ordained by the Most High, but we're going to see the outcome when somebody even in that position speaks presumptuously. It's across the board. It doesn't matter who it is. If you're operating under an arrogant spirit, the penalty is harsh. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. The word presume is the Hebrew 2102. Again, this is the Brown Driver Briggs. I rarely use the Strongs. It's either Thayer or Brown Driver Briggs. And it means to boil up, deceive, to act proudly, act presumptuously, act rebelliously, be presumptuous, be arrogant, be rebelliously proud, to deal arrogantly. And there's a few more, but it's basically repeating the same thing again. But you can see all the adjectives always under somebody operating an arrogant spirit are typically the same. They're rebellious. They're proud. They act insolent or rude and disrespectful. So again, the Bible clearly lays out the aspects and the manifestation of somebody operating in this particular spirit. So we have the situation, we have a prophet, we have an authority figure, we have somebody that's been ordained to the Most High to be a spokesman for Yah's people. And clearly Yah had not commanded this prophet to speak. He said, which I have not commanded him to speak. Or if he speaks something contrary to what I would obviously have him to say. Verse 21, and if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know that the word which Yahweh hath not spoken? How shall we know that this is from him or it isn't from him, right? Because obviously he's going to use the name of Yahweh to add to his credibility and show the people that he's operating in the stead of a prophet, right? When a prophet speaketh in the name of Yahweh, if the thing follow not, so this is Yah's answer, if the thing follow not or come or nor come to pass, that is the thing which Yahweh hath not spoken, but that prophet has spoken presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Okay, this prophet, this authority figure amongst the people, if he decides on his own that he has a word and speaks that which did not come from the direction and instruction of the Most High, you have in front of you a liar and the truth is not in him. This is somebody that's operating in an arrogant, prideful spirit. And the reason is because of a position or a place of authority. He believes he has the right before the people to speak this way, and obviously he's doing it presumptuously, and the punishment for this is not to be afraid of him, and I think I didn't even go that far, but further than that, he shall be killed among the people, again, put to death. Again, and you can see all the different, and this man is a liar. He's assuming he has superiority just because of who he thinks he is. He believes that he has every right to go past me on what Yah has already laid down in stone, so to speak, and speak his own mind and again, speak in arrogance. I'm just going to go ahead and say it anyway because I believe I have the place to say that. And again, that can be applicable to anybody. It doesn't matter if it's an authority figure or if it's any saint that's amongst the body of Messiah. If you understand what I'm saying. All right, and the word presumptuously here, again, in verse 22, that but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, is the Hebrew 2102, I don't know if I covered this one already, but I'll just bring it up again. And it basically means to boil up seed, act proudly, act presumptuously, act rebelliously, to deal arrogantly. Yeah, I think I did bring that up already. But you can see the pattern that's going on here, and you can see the manifestation of the spirit. It's basically arrogance is, again, pride is the walk, but arrogance is the talk. It's the manifestation of pride coming out of the mouth, and the boastfulness and the lying and the rebellion and the stiff-neckedness and everything else that comes along with an arrogant spirit. All right, Numbers chapter 15, 27 through 31. Numbers 15, 27 through 31. All right, if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offer. So we're going to show an example here where something was a totally accidental. There wasn't knowledge of it. There wasn't a pre-purposed agenda for it. There wasn't a deliberate act. This is talking about a sin of ignorance. And the priest shall make atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance before Yahweh, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. You shall have one law, that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, just go ahead and do what he want to do, when he want to do it, how he wants it, be deliberate in his actions, whether he be born in the land or stranger, that same reproacheth Yahweh, and that soul shall be cut off from among people. It actually brings in a shameful environment. It actually shows disgrace and disrespect and dishonor for the Most High to just go ahead and do something, knowing full well that it's a self-will, stiff-necked, deliberate act, either in speech or in action. And again, the same consequence here is that soul shall be come off from amongst the people. Because he hath what? Despised the word of Yahweh, and hath broken his commandment, and that soul shall utterly be cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him. So again, if you're in a position, you better tell the truth, because Yah hears everything, he knows everything. You may be able to get away with it in front of man, you know, especially when it comes to lying or misrepresenting your place or position, but Yah hears everything and knows it, and the truth will come out. All right, continuing on with different aspects of a arrogant spirit, and we're still talking about in the realm of being presumptuous. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 40 through 46. But as for you, turn you and take you a journey in the wilderness by the way of the sea. So we have the opening command says, this is the direction that I want you to go. This is what I'm commanding you and instructing you to do. Then you answer and said unto me, we have sinned against Yahweh. We will go up and fight according to all that Yahweh had commanded us. And when you had girded on every man his weapons of war, you were ready to go up into the hill. And again, you have to read before this and read after. So there's a situation, and this is a recounting of something that Israel shouldn't have did, but they took it upon themselves to go ahead and do it anyway. And we're going to find out in their arrogance and prideful manner, they're just, because Yah was their Elohim, they figured they're just going to go ahead and, hey, we're just going to march on forward because Yah's going to back us up. You see the arrogance behind this? And they're going to find out they got their asses smoked. I mean, kicked badly. And Yahweh said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest you be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and you would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment and of Yahweh, and went presumptuously up the hill. You're going to go anyway, regardless. You're going to go against the instruction, against the command, against the direction, in your arrogance, and here comes the payment for it. And the Amorites which dwelt in that mountain came out against you and chased you and be as bees do and destroyed you in Seir even unto Hormah. and you returned and wept before Yahweh. Now you see, got your ass kicked. You should have listened. Now you're going to come back and beg for repentance. And you returned and wept before Yahweh, but Yahweh would not hearken to your voice nor give ear unto you, because you were duly warned. So you abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that ye abode. And you know, people can never say, ever say Yah is unjust, because he gives us plenty of warning and plenty of opportunity to avoid putting ourselves in a situation where he has to, you know, put out punishment. Again, in an arrogant spirit will do that. It will boast itself. It will find reason. It'll think itself to be superior. It'll cast down every instruction and commandment because it believes it knows better than everybody else. It claims that this is its position and it has the right to exercise it. All right, Psalm 31, verse 17 and 18. Psalm 31, 17 and 18. And Dawid says, let me not be ashamed, O Yahweh, for I have called unto thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence. So David is going to describe what the character of somebody of the wicked are. Let their lying lips, obviously they lie, be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. So you can see all this going on under somebody that's walking in a totally perverted, wicked spirit, an arrogant spirit, and this is how they act. This is the behavior, to lie, to speak grievous things proudly as though they have every right in the world to, with no fear of the Most High, and contemptuously against the righteous. Okay, grievous things, as defined in the Hebrew, it's the H6277. Now, this is the Strong's. Next two will be out of the Strong's. Again, grievous things means arrogant or grievous or hard things or stiff. So let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak things arrogantly and proudly, is what that means. And the word contemptuously against the righteous means out of disrespect or an insolence and rudeness, right? So let them be put to silence with their lying lips, which speak in arrogance and in their proud, puffed up way, and speak with disrespect and despisement towards others. Again, let them be silent in the grave. Let them go down to the grave and be silent. You can see how much Yah definitely hates a proud and arrogant spirit. Man, snow's picking up. Hey, hallelujah. Psalm 94, verses 1. Let's see, verses 1 through 8. Psalm 94, verses 1 through 8. O Yahweh, our Elohim, to whom vengeance belongeth. O Yahweh, to whom vengeance belongeth. Show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render a reward to the proud. Yahweh, how long shall the wicked triumph? Looking like they're always getting away with everything. And always the ones that, it's always the righteous seems to always be getting trouble, but the wicked, like, man, that never happened to them, are always getting the upper hand. How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. Again, hard things is the Hebrew 6277. Yeah, again, in Strong's, Hebrew 6277. And it means impudent or arrogant. What in the world? Come on, you people. Don't you... Let me silence this phone. I tell you, and it's a saint that is well-favored in this ministry. Help me, Jesus. Hard things. Anyway, so how long shall they utter and speak things in arrogancy? All the works of iniquity boast themselves. They speak hard things, things spoken proudly. Verse 5, they break in pieces thy people, O Yahweh, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Man, these are all the attributes of somebody that walks in an arrogant, hard spirit, wicked ways. They boast, they utter hard things, I mean, you can see all these little manifestations, these influences of this particular spirit of arrogance. They break in pieces thy people, Yahweh, afflict on heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Wow, these are some ruthless people, man. Disrespectful, dishonored, out to destroy everybody and anything. Yet they say, Yahweh shall not see. Neither shall the Yah of Jacob regard it. Yah don't know what we're doing. He can't see it. He obviously blind to our behavior because it looks like we keep getting away with it. That's why David said, how long shall the wicked triumph? Because it's like Yah wasn't doing nothing. Understand, you brutish among the people and you fools. When will you be wise? Meaning that there's going to be a payment for this. And Yah does hear it, and he does all things in his timing. All right, Proverbs 21, verses 23 and 24. Proverbs 21, verses 23 and 24. Oh, glory. I just figured out this thing had a mute button on it. Oh, boy. I had to get off some stuff out of my throat there. All right, Proverbs chapter 21, again, verses 23 and 24. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. I mean, shut the hell up. Why is there such an impulse to always say something? You ever walk up to somebody and you greet them and they just start going on and on and on and on and on and on and on? It's like, what? It's like, man, do they hear themselves? They just, I mean, where's the opportunity just to give somebody else the ability to say something or to have their two cents in? You know, they got to fill you in on their whole lives. It's like, what in the world? You know, okay, so, but some people are just geared that way, I guess. But again, it's just making sure that you're careful about what comes out of your mouth, right? Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. And Pastor Dahl covered some of these yesterday in Shabbat service. Again, you can see that there's they're almost identical, these two spirits. But again, one is a nature. The other one, I think, is more attributed to the speech behind the nature, if you understand. The word haughty is the Hebrews 30:93. Boy, I did use Strong's again tonight a lot in this study. Anyway, haughty means arrogant, haughty, proud. So proud and arrogant scorner is his name. And a scorner in the Hebrew 38:87 is somebody to make mouths at, scoffs at, doesn't make a big deal about anything, doesn't consider the punishment, doesn't consider the words that he speaks, doesn't care what he says, just speaks them in a presumptuous, arrogant manner. Just go ahead and just let it all, put it all out on the table, thinking he has the absolute ability and total right to do so, and there will be a punishment for it. All right, going to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. 2 Peter 2, 9 through 10. And Yahweh knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. So we're having this again, we're showing the attributes of somebody walking in an arrogant spirit. They believe they're superior. They believe they have the superiority just about every facet of everybody else in this life, and they know it all, they see it all, they can tell it all, they have a word for everything, and they're always right. Again, pride. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, and it tells you what they're walking and they're operating, obviously, right? After the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they. Again, we cover presumptuous in many times here in the Torah, and we also showed clearly the end result of the reward of acting in that manner, right? The total disregard, disrespect, dishonor, and on and on and on. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities or those that have been placed in authority. Again, that's including Yah himself. The word self-willed is the Thayer definition, the Greek 829, and it means self-pleasing, self-willed, arrogant. Presumptuous are they? Arrogant. They are not afraid. There's no fear. Somebody that operates an arrogant spirit loses fear. Just speaks all his mind. A fool utter all his mind. So we covered presumptuous nature and a lot of the attributes, and now we're talking about more things like being self-will and the facet of being and walking in an arrogant spirit. Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, no, 5 through 9, excuse me, Titus 1, 5 through 9. For this cause I left thee in Crete. Now this is Paul, of course, he wrote a letter to Titus, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, or needful and necessary, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. And the reason, obviously, that this was done is so when something happened in the particular assemblies there, that you had men that were able to deal with any controversies, contentions, anything that come up between two parties, and settle the matter. Because they needed the rule of law and order wherever the assembly was gathered. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. So he's talking about the overseers and what they must consist of, right? What their character's got to be. For a bishop, and again, Pastor covered that on, I think, Blog Talk. Was it Blog Talk or was it Shabbat service? I don't recall, but of course, that's absolutely, you know, we know it to mean overseer, but the Catholics definitely inserted that and started calling. I had to laugh today, but who was it? Some bishop. Was it? Yeah, bishop, I believe. I don't know if it was a cardinal or bishop, but they want the Pope and a high-ranking cardinal or something arrested for something to do with some books they're promoting about pornography. There's the division, the Catholic Church, man. Y'all bring that down, too. Anything divided will not stand, and it's getting more and more exposed and divided as the day goes on for how wicked it really is. Anyway, so for the bishop, the overseer must be blameless. His elder must be blameless as the steward of Yah, not self-willed or not an arrogant person, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, no given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he's been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. All right, Romans chapter 12, Romans 12, 1 through 8, Romans chapter 12, 1 through 8, and again, keep in mind that this all has to do with somebody that is dealing with an arrogant spirit, different aspects, different facets of an arrogant spirit. It, again, it's so closely linked to spirit of pride, but there's a greater manifestation, I believe, and more boldness in speech with somebody that is truly, you know, being overtaken by or influenced by an arrogant spirit. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yah, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Yah, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be walking in the flesh or think carnally like you used to, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yah. For I say, though, the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to Yah hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Don't get above, don't get heady, don't get high-minded. The word highly in verse 3 is the Greek 5252. Man, this is out of the Strong's too. Boy, I have to go back on what I said earlier. But this is out of the Strong's too. Greek 5252, the word highly, means to esteem oneself overmuch, that is to be vain or arrogant. So not to think of himself more vainly or more arrogant than he ought to think, or allow himself to be vain or arrogant over what he knows and understands, right? Because then again, you're walking outside of the will of the Most High and in a wicked way. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same. And it's context here that I was trying to bring out, because you have a situation here that each one is individually responsible for presenting their bodies a living sacrifice and holy and acceptable. And then Paul brings us down, and he's going to show us from a singular aspect, from an individual to a body approach, from an assembly approach, from a ministry approach. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So, again, you know, somebody that's, okay, we'll finish reading here. So we, being many, are one body in Messiah, and every one members of one of another. We're all joining this together. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or on he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he showeth mercy, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So, again, you know, we have this individual mindset we can't bring into the body and to think ourselves in a greater position that we've been granted or given. I don't care if it's a husband with a wife or if it's with a deacon, you know, setting the affairs of the brethren for the day, running the land, or if it's an elder in a place of judgment, a pastor, you know, even in his stead and what he has to do presenting before the sheep and lead and guide them. You know, give them knowledge and understanding. All these things that they're all the purpose, and when they're all, everybody's in their place and operating in their zone, so to speak, you have peace and harmony out throughout the whole body. But if somebody gets lifted up in arrogancy and puffed up in the vanity of their own mind, and they allow that spirit to rule them, then they can believe themselves to be, well, they should be the foot, but they're going to be themselves to be the shoulder and grant themselves a superior position that wasn't given to them. If you understand what I'm saying, I'm sure that you do. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. I might hear my voice slowly giving way here. Hopefully I'll finish this. First Timothy 6, 17 through 19. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living Yah, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Again, in verse 17, the word high-minded is the Greek 5309 in the Strong's. It means to be lofty in mind, that is arrogant, be high-minded. So again, we're dealing with aspects of elevation and pride, and a display of arrogance in speech and in manner, in conduct, in position, in all kinds of different ways. Again, how easy is it for those who have greater wealth, greater influence because of riches, to be inflated and arrogant in their dispositions, simply because of their position, because of who they are and what they have? How much more arrogant are those with greater access to wealth, that walk heady and above those who have little or not the same measure of ability to attain for themselves? I mean, isn't that what the rich do? Don't they oppress you? Don't those that have greater access to wealth and have more goods in this world a lot of times look down on other people because they haven't been granted the same blessing or haven't been, you know, given the same, achieved the same amount of success? And all that is simply is that Yah uses you as a skill where your best, you know, whatever best area that you're at, you can best contribute to the body. I mean, if you can't go out there and get a job where you're making six figures a year because you have an intelligence in that area or a skill in an area, and say you're on a community, leaves you back hauling wood every day, both things are just important. But the one out there getting six figures should never exalt himself or think arrogantly or place himself above everybody else because he's bringing in something monetary where the other one is just bringing in sweat equity. That's dangerous for the Most High. That's obviously walking in an arrogant, heady, high-minded spirit. And that's why Paul is writing Timothy to be careful and watch these and warn them and charge them that they be not high-minded and not allow themselves to get in this position where they're going to get punished badly and severely. But again, and then Paul tells them, tell them this, that they do good, talking about those that be rich, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, ready to give it all up, cough it all up. You've heard the testimony by Elder Kabir, Elder Rob. You know, we both know they're very successful in the NFL, and they were granted contracts worth millions, and they had the resources, and they were both laying them at the feet of the ministry in Pastor Dahl's care, and he said, no, I trust you. I know your judgment. You've shown yourself faithful over that what you have, and I know you continue to show yourself faithful. So, but just they're both ready to, hey, Pastor, you need it today, it's yours, right? That's the attitude. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. Again, ready to distribute. And it comes back to my mind that we're in a situation now after the death, burial, and resurrection Messiah that this also keeps everything common and makes the situation where no man calls anything his own, if you understand. Because if it's yours, you're not ready to distribute. But if we understand, if it's all things common and it's not ours, then it's easy to defeat that arrogant prideful spirit and to give it yourself. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. All right, when pride, which is Hebrew 20:87, which means arrogance, when arrogance cometh, then cometh shame, meaning you put yourself in a position where you're going to be exposed to becoming an open reproach, because by whatever action you allowed pride to maneuver you and arrogance to speak through you, then you're going to come with the reproach and the shame. Dang, the truck is getting covered up by snow. Wow, it is coming down pretty good. But with the lowly, what meaning those that are humble is wisdom. Humble people know that what they know and all they are comes from Yahweh. Again, let me say, humble people know that what they know and all they are comes from Yahweh. Humble people are not lifting themselves up, rarely speak of themselves or exalt who they are or what they have done. An arrogant man will seek to express his achievements above others, oftentimes finding fault and being critical of another's contribution or commitment to get the focus solely back on him or her. That's kind of a breakdown of Proverbs 11:2. Psalm 19, verses 12 and 13. We're just about done. We're getting another couple pages. Psalm chapter 19, verses 12 and 13. Who can understand his errors? David is asking, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults, from the things that I don't know about myself, the things that I don't understand, the things that I'm blinded to. Cleanse me from these things. And then he goes on to say this, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, from arrogance. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent from the great transgression. Man, of all the things he's asking to be kept back from, he's talking about from presumptuous, prideful, heady, high-minded, rebellious, wicked ways, and all the other list of things that surround an arrogant spirit. And all this, he's asking the Most High, petitioning, so he doesn't have to meet the judgment or the punishment that Yah is going to bring upon him for getting in a presumptuous, heady, high-minded way. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9. Verse 9, that's the only 9. Proverbs 14, verse 9. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Okay, the word for mock in Proverbs 14:9 is the Brown Driver Briggs definition, the Hebrew 38:87. It means to make mouths at, to talk arrogantly, to boast, to scorn, to mock, to deride, to interpret, to be inflated, scoff, show, act as a scorner, show oneself as a mocker. So again, fools talk arrogantly. They make a mock at sin. They don't care about it. They believe that these things are hidden from the Most High, and they feel free to just to go ahead and speak their mind whenever they want to. So these things are all being said tonight, so you can measure and test yourself and check yourself when you feel that compulsion to speak, when you believe that you're right about everything, when you believe that you have a voice because you have superior knowledge or intellect or understanding, you have superior skills so you can move somebody else out of the way, and you know, or you can speak something because you have favoritism with somebody that's a principal leader or whatever, and you can go to somebody else and think that you have that right to speak to them because the person in authority may be able to speak to that person that way, but you sure as hell can't. That's an arrogant pride spirit, proud spirit. Again, fools disregard sin and its consequences. Fools, what in their arrogance, in their presumption that they have they believe that they have superiority over their sinful, wicked ways, no hurt will come nigh to them. Fools walk as though they have no judgment coming from the hand of Yahweh. Ooh, oh boy, I hope I get through this. I don't lose my voice. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3. And this is Peter talking to the leadership. So again, it's from the bottom to the top, the top to the bottom. And there's no exemption. Of course, who wouldn't want to be exempt from walking in a wicked spirit anyway? I mean, you want to, like David said, cleanse me from everything, secret faults and whatever else. So Peter says in first verse, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. Now remember, Peter was also an apostle, and he's calling himself an elder. He's been ordained and chosen and given a position in the body of Messiah, who I am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Messiah, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He's giving his when you go apply for a job, your references, your history, right? Your work history, where you've been, your footsteps. Feed the flock of Yah, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind, neither being lords over Yah's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And man, Pastor has been bringing that out. He's been bringing that out hard here lately too, because it got to start with the top, and then you'll see the beauty. It'll trickle down once everybody from the top down is in their place. Again, the whole thing is you have to do these things willingly, those that are in positions of authority, those that have superiority, not assume superiority, that actually do, right? The word Lord is, in the Thayer, it's the Greek 2634, being neither having, being lords over Yah's heritage, but to bring under one's power, to subject oneself, to subdue, keyword, not subduing. Those that you're the flock or have the oversight of, not some doing, and we're going to talk about them ways, them means, right? To hold in subjection, to be master of, to exercise lordship over. Authority figures which do not have to resort, these are people that do not have to resort to subversive means to gain respect and receive honor. Authority figures who don't demand that everything be according to their book of the law, that these people rule with compassion and secure firmness. I mean, they make you secure in their firmness, but being compassionate, being understanding, willing to entreat, right? And but also willing to deal in rebuke and instruction and correction where necessary. Authority figures which do not practice and employ means of shaming, of putting other people down to gain mastery and show themselves superior over the rest of the people. Yelling, fear tactic, subterfuge, unjust punishments in order to get someone to fall into their idea of what order is. Again, so Peter's warning us against those that are in leadership, not to allow ourselves to get into that mindset. Remember, these are Yah's sheep, and Yah's flock, and we're responsible about the example that we place before them. And I've hoped over the years that I've been able to put out a good example. Have I done everything right? No, I mean, everybody's made mistakes. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm going to use the mistakes to continue to make mistakes, but the fact of the matter is that's the way that we learn and grow. So we have to understand that. One thing I will say is there's nobody that I know of in this ministry that is intentionally, especially in leadership, trying to injure anybody, at least as far as I know of. You know, you once in a while you hear of things or things come up after the fact, but that should never be if that's our mindset, to, because we're upset with somebody, to injure them or speak evil or whatever it may be to discredit them, we got a whole lot of answering to do. But verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, again, here is another aspect of an arrogant spirit and how not to have one. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And I'm going to add for age as well, age and authority position. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility. Perfect example, the one thing that will defeat an arrogant, prideful, heady, high-minded, thinking I'm superior, the best, an insolent, rude, respectful, dishonorable, and on the list that I read in the beginning, type of spirit, right? For Yah resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of Yah, that he may exalt you in due time. Again, you have to ask yourself, what were the elders there to do amongst the body? What was their purpose? What was their designation? Again, they were there to be an example. Of course, we know that, but they were there to help the rest of the flock get to the kingdom. That should be their whole goal and their whole love and compassion, because they want to get there just as well, right? And they have a desire, and they should, and we should all have that, right? And again, Peter, not only does he start with the headship or the authority, but he also comes down to the younger in the congregation. And he admonishes the younger of the congregation to submit themselves and to be walking humility, and that prevents the younger from lifting themselves up against the elder. All right, Isaiah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Isaiah 3, chapter 1 through 5. Just a few more pages. For behold, saith Yahweh, the Master of hosts, does take away from Jerusalem, from the Judah, the stay and staff, and the whole stay of bread, and the whole stay of water. The mighty man, and the man of war, and the judge, and the prophet, and the prudent, and the ancient. Again, this is in Isaiah 3. He's talking about a situation that hasn't happened yet, but he's describing what's going to lead up to that situation, right? And he's going to describe the character of the people at that time and what's going to make this happen because of the way of their actions. So he's addressing everybody in verses 1 and 2. And verse 3, the captain of 50, the honorable man, and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator, I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, and everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. This is a condition that we're going to absolutely see now in this day, and we have to be absolutely on our toes. So the word proudly in the Brown Driver Briggs is the Hebrew 7292. It means to behave proudly, to act stormily or boisterously or arrogantly against the old. And again, I go back what I said in the beginning. Elder Mitch did a YouTube video, and Josh posted the link earlier about this very thing, and how he had a man that come to the community, an older man, and he observed somebody that was, I believe, elder's age or younger, basically dishonoring elder and acting proudly against him. And again, you can listen to the video. I ain't going to tell you everything that's on there, but we're dealing with the same thing because it is the spirit of this age. And there is something rising up in these children, and it's getting worse and worse. as they grow, because obviously they have more influence and they have more things to influence them from the world than they ever had. I mean, they got, what children do you know? I mean, there's very few, and I do know some, and these parents, I give them thumbs up. Again, now, I don't want to condemn anybody, but if your children have access to a cell phone, you can put the blocks and locks and everything else on there, but at some point, they get pretty crafty and smart and try to figure out how to remove these things. That's, you understand, that's man's nature. When you forbid them from something, they do everything in their power to get figured out what it is that's so important that they can't have. It's like you were growing up, right? Your parents said you couldn't smoke, you couldn't drink, you couldn't do all the stuff that they were doing because they were bigger, and you were like, well, so what's the big deal? And then you might go out and buy, you know, get hold of some alcohol or find a cigarette because you thought you were being kept back from something. Anyway, I want to get off track. But so anyway, you have this situation as it was then, it so shall be again, and we're already seeing that happening on all kinds of different levels. You go on YouTube and you see these young fools out there beating up old people, and just, it's just totally out of control. But that's what Satan wants in this end time. He wants rebellion, and he's getting it. Leviticus 19:32. And I put this in here because I think there's something very profound about this, and as I was meditating on this, I didn't put it in here because I'm an old gray guy, right? You know, I'm going to be 63 this year, but I still hopefully still get 25, 30 good years. But again, in Leviticus 19:32, thou shalt rise up or stand before the hoary head. This is a command, and this was the action of the command. When you see somebody with a hoary head, you're supposed to rise up or stand. That's what the word rise up means, before the hoary head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear Yahweh the Elohim. I am the Elohim. I am Yahweh. I am the master. And again, it is simply amazing and a marvel as to how Yahweh places certain instructions for us in his word to keep us humble, right? It's an humbling act for somebody that's younger. It's a great act of humility for somebody that's younger to stand before the elder, and a humbling act for the elder to receive the honor, or at least it should be, right? And in Yah's perfect design, such instructions as this will cause those who are younger and fear Yahweh to perform that which is not only commanded, but it also helps to mitigate and to stave off any thought of superiority or arrogance from entering into those who are younger, who are full of strength and who have received and have many perceived days, as it can cause the younger to look on the older in pride, arrogance, and superiority, as the aged and hoary-headed no longer possess the strength, the vim, the vigor of youth. And again, what I'm saying is that when you put these things into practice, right, in any degree of honor and respect for those that are older to you, any degree of respect from an Isha, a woman, to her husband, again, just doing these acts, right, is going to, the action itself invites the attitude of humility to come in. But if you totally refuse to do these because you have a proud, arrogant, heady, high-minded, disrespectful, dishonorable spirit, and refuse to do the things that Yah commands you to do, the things that are going to help bring you life and help you, help hopefully to get you away from this pride, this attitude of pride, this attitude of arrogance. If you actually perform these things, it may actually help deliver you, if you understand what I'm saying. And I think that you do. All right, just about done. Again, going off in respect of age. 1 Timothy 5:1-3, and how an arrogant spirit a lot of times will enter into those that are in an inferior position, who desire superiority but haven't been afforded to them. 1 Timothy 5:1-3, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and a younger man as a brother. And again, clear example, Paul giving Timothy the example of what needs to be done and what is expected. But entreat him as a father. Now this is talking in regard strictly to an old man, somebody that's aged. That's why it says entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. So there's respect and honor across the board. the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Paul isn't missing anything or anybody in the whole scheme of this thing. Honor widows that are widows indeed. Again, these words too help to defeat pride and arrogance and a haughty mind against the older by the younger if it's enacted and followed upon. Again, it takes humility and it takes a presence of mind. And again, this is a deliberate act. Humility is a deliberate act to actually go and do that which is already given by instruction. In fact, in doing so will help put on an attitude of humility and submission. And it tells everybody else about your character and leaves a good example, right? I mean, years ago, I don't know if I've ever said this, years and years ago when the community was in its infancy, in probably the first 3 or 4 years that we were in this, is that we would typically get in the chow hall first or the dining hall then, which was where the pastor's mother now resides. But we'd be in there at our tables, seated, and then the pastor would come through the door, and there were some of us, not all of us, but some of us stood in honor of him and his authority and his position when he came in. And, you know, after a while, he just respectfully asked us that, you know, it wasn't necessary that we did that anymore. He understands our heart, but it wasn't necessary, okay? But it was still something that we're showing honor and respect in act of humility towards the man that Yah placed in front of us to help get us to the kingdom. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, chapter 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke. That means to incite unto love and to good works. So let us consider one another to incite another to do, exhort them, expound them, push them to do good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, because if you do this, you obviously can't be there to provoke somebody into doing right, because you separate yourself from the body. That's why it's so important to assemble yourselves, and also absolutely makes you accountable when you do such, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, provoking not in belittlement or in arrogant tones, but through exhortation and positive assertions. Okay, I got a few more things and we're done. All right, I got a thought here, though. And again, we were talking about humility and putting on a humble attitude. And this is an occupation that actually helps learn humility. And honestly, my thoughts personally, and it has been for years, because I can say it because I've been a part of it for almost my entire life, and I'm going to tell you what that is. I believe everyone, man or woman, should afford themselves the opportunity to work with farm animals, and I'll tell you why. Tending to farm animals will open up your eyes to many things. It's difficult, but not impossible, to walk in pride and arrogance when you're flopping over hay. But again, it's difficult. It's actually it should teach you an attitude of gratitude and humility, because you're looking at what sustains you and feeds you. But it will open your eyes up to many things. It's difficult to walk in pride and arrogance when you're flopping over hay, when you're mending fences, when, if you've ever been around cattle and they get snotty noses, they're flinging on you. I mean, you subject yourselves to all kinds of just nasty, disgusting things. When a goat gets constantly caught in the fence and you have to deal with it time and time again, these are just past experiences that I've been a part of and seen. Chickens, they get mites, you got to dust them. It's nasty. Things are disgusting. They crawl on everything. They're all over your hands. You know, you collect eggs, they're full of chicken crap, and you got to wash them. You got to shovel chicken crap. You got to clean a goat barn. You got to make sure the animals are watered and fed constantly. It's your care, your responsibility. You have to handle sick animals, which to some people is, ugh. You know, you have to sanitize the areas after, like us for meat birds, after each flock. You know, you might have to get up in the middle of the night to check on a newborn calf, a newborn kid. We do it, the chicks, all the time. We'll get up at least once a night, and sometimes twice, depending on you know, what time of the year it is to make sure the chicks are warm and comfortable. And but it, anybody that has ever actually put their hands on in a farm type of environment, it will teach you some level of humility and respect. It really does. I don't know how to explain it, but it's there. Can it go the other way? Sure. You may get disgusted and upset, and you get this prideful thing that says, why do I got to do this, right? And it does happen, but I see more a degree of people that are accepting, and they love the responsibility, and they enjoy what's presented before them, because it's not an easy thing to deal with animals, farm animals, right? And I've seen people that have been appointed to do this and absolutely get disgusted and don't want no part of it and make up excuses, and they're missing the whole aspect behind it. Now, I thank Yah for my later years that, you know, we have helped me and Diane and Lisa with the chickens. Sister Tammy helps a bulk, and she does a lot of shoveling for us, and we're appreciative of that. But somebody like me still has to get up every morning and feed them. And if I'm not available, Diane and Lisa do it. And, you know, we have to check the waters periodic through the day, check to see if they're comfortable, if they're too hot, they're too cold, on and on and on. But, you know, this does something to help with your character if you think you need character building. So anyway, let's finish up here. Psalm 75, verses 4 through 7. Psalm 75, verses 4 through 7. And this is strictly just a bunch of admonishment from David. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck, or speak not in pride, in arrogance. For promotion cometh from the east, neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. So you're not going to get it from man, promotion, being actually advanced in the kingdom, right, and recognized. But Yah is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. So this obviously is keeping completely in context with the one that sees the labor and love of your works and sees that you don't walk in an arrogant, prideful spirit, and he will advance that. He can use that for the further of the kingdom. Anyway, y'all, that's it for tonight's blog talk. I sure hope you enjoyed it. I hope you were able to get something out of it and help you to grow in grace and in knowledge. Again, Passover's coming up, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and it's a time that we really truly need to be preparing ourselves and our hearts for the taking of the feast, because of all the feasts, this one here has the most written consequences for coming in the wrong manner and attitude. Anyway, bless y'all, and again, you know, make sure you keep the leadership in your prayers always. Pastor Dahl obviously getting hit probably the hardest of anybody in the ministry, because, you know, you smite the shepherd, the head shepherd, and the sheep will shed, scatter. But to keep all the pastors, Pastor Muir, Pastor Corey, Pastor Rufus, the elders, the deacons, the teachers, wives, keep your husband's prayers. And against all the order, and again, pray for one another that you may be healed, okay? You may be edified, you may grow in the grace and knowledge of Yahshua. All right, bless you all. You have a good night. Stay warm, and the King is coming.